Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Sicard, joined as always by my two great co-hosts, Nick and Joe Berger. Guys, we have some hockey to talk about, finally. Games are being played, and not just any game. Was it Friday? Well, actually, Friday and Saturday.
Back to back.
We had USA versus Canada in a back-to-back series played in Columbus and Ottawa. A lot of things happened.
Yeah. You can argue some things didn't happen.
Can we just put it that way? Some things happened?
We can say that there was no love lost between...
I mean, let's just, for people who didn't watch, which might actually be a lot of people, because the World Cup of Hockey organizers have made it incredibly difficult to watch these games. The second game was broadcast in Canada on Sportsnet and TVA, which, you know, big networks, but for us people living in America, we got a nice serving of ESPN3 for the second game. And the first game, I think we already mentioned this in the previous podcast, ESPNU, which, for those who might not know, I'm already impressed if you've heard of this channel, but it's for the collegiate side of sports.
I'm pretty sure Desmond Howard was on the program before the game started.
Yeah, so a bit of a desolate situation with the broadcast, but nevertheless, being the dedicated podcasters / hockey observers that we are, we managed to watch these games. I watched the entirety of the first game, watched it a second time on NHL Network, and then we watched last night at about 4 a.m.
Yeah.
The second installment of this series. Thoughts on, you know, how these teams are looking?
The second game, I think, checks out. Like, was it 5-2 for Team Canada?
Yeah,
it was 5-2.
Which is more what we expected both games to look like.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the second game was what we expected, and I think also the fact that it was less visible, people didn't talk about it, but let's really get at the first game, because I think that's where the meat of, you know, this quote-unquote series is at.
Yeah, the first game was, even though Team USA won, it was pretty lopsided. Like, Canada was pretty clearly the better team. There's no doubt.
They were.
Yeah, when you don't have a shot in coming down the stretch around the game, you know, one shot in the third period.
Yeah.
And I think that was
their only shot, and it was an empty net goal.
Yeah, and that even stretches back to, I think, a couple minutes in the second period
when they didn't have a shot. Yeah, I think it was at 16 minutes or something in the second period. So that's about a 24-minute span without a shot on goal.
Yeah. And it's not like they were hemmed in their own zone the entire time. They had some actually pretty decent looks. I think one on the power play that might have hit the post.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in general, they were really not very good.
And speaking of decent looks, Derek Stepan.
Yeah,
he had two wide open shots before the empty net.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he's one for three.
He had three empty nets. Yeah, I mean, USA did not look good in either game, but it wasn't just that they didn't play well, you know, when it comes to hockey, because I think nobody really expected them to be that good. But they just, I don't know what it is, but they decided to take this direction of, we're going to play a physical, borderline dirty style of play,
i.e. Applicator and Palmieri.
Yeah, so,
and Kessler.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan Kessler took out Shea Weber from behind. It was like they were racing for the puck. Weber was going for it behind the net, and Weber checked him from behind. Kessler got a match penalty. No, it was a 5-minute major
and a game misconduct.
And a game misconduct. So that, I think, he wasn't suspended for the next game, because that's...
No, he wasn't.
Because that's only if it's a match penalty or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, but it was... I don't think it was the dirtiest hit I've ever seen, but it was reckless and it was unnecessary.
It definitely wasn't. And one of the things that ESPN's analyst, Brett Hall, I believe, mentioned after the game was, you know, Weber, you know, he sort of put himself in a vulnerable position. You know,
oh, yeah. It's Weber's fault.
Right.
It's the guy who got hit, not the guy who did the hitting.
Yeah. So, like, even though, in terms of, you know, just penalties being called, Weber could have oriented his body a different way going to the boards to receive the hit, but still, it's Kessler's action. Like, he saw his numbers, and he saw where he was, and so he made the decision to hit him.
Yeah.
So, even though Weber could have done something to change the outcome, it's not on him.
Yeah, it's not up to him in that situation. He's going for the puck. He's making a hockey play.
And we talked about it last night / very early this morning. What's Weber going to do? Not protect the puck?
I know, right? Like,
is he going to turn his front towards Kessler?
Turn and be around.
Like, here it is. Take it from me. Puck.
Yeah. And then earlier in the game, there was a hit. I believe it was TJ Oshie.
Oh, on Couture.
On Logan Couture. I think that one was actually dirtier.
Yeah, it was.
Than... So just like for those keeping score, that's already two. Like, you know, usually in an NHL game, you see one hit like that maybe. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of borderline. And possibly not even every game, but you see it once in a while. So that's already two games that would probably get a look in the NHL by the Department of Player Safety.
And games that don't count.
In an exhibition game. So this is clearly, in my mind, a message from the coaching staff that, you know, it goes back to like the Broad Street Bullies. If we can't beat them on the ice, you know, we can beat them in the alley or whatever. Like, it's just this weird sort of like we're going to try to intimidate them with mm-hmm. with our physicality.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
I hate that mentality because you're not going to intimidate like great players.
But so the second, the first dirty hit, which was Oshie on Couture. Couture is sort of like bending.
He's hunched over.
He's like hunched over trying to get the puck along the wall. This is about in the neutral zone, right in front of the penalty box.
And the puck leaves.
And the puck leaves, and it's like 10, 15 feet away. It's like back in the other team's zone. And Oshie comes in and just drives his shoulder, sort of like, it wasn't really shoulder to shoulder, but it was like just about where the shoulder and the neck sort of meet.
Mm.
And it was completely unnecessary. Like, there was nothing to be gained just from his standpoint, from Oshie's standpoint, on making that hit.
And the thing about Oshie making that hit, with where Couture was oriented in relation to the boards, whether he hit him in a clean fashion or not, they were at that distance from the boards where it's a dangerous hit, whether you make contact in a clean way or a dirty way.
And there was no penalty on the play.
It should have been boarding.
Which was, like, insane.
It's ludicrous that they didn't call boarding on that.
I think it's definitely boarding. I think it's roughing because you're hitting a guy in the head. Like, I think anytime you give you hit a guy in the head, there has to be an additional penalty.
I mean, at the very least, it's interference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's already three penalties, and they couldn't come up with one.
That hit was way worse than the Joe Thornton hit. And the Joe Thornton hit was...
Oh.
That was...
In game two.
In game two.
Oh, yeah. So...
On Ryan Kessler.
Yeah.
Which we should give some background to.
So, and then there was a third hit. Oh, well, the only other sort of questionable instance was... It was a dump-in from Canada... And the guys are racing for the puck, and it was offside. So they all stop up in the corner, and Claude Giroux is his back faced to the play. Joe Pavelski skates in and doesn't lower his shoulder or anything, but the whistle like just happened, and he doesn't really do anything to stop up, and he just kind of nails him in the back. And Giroux went down, and he was shaken up. So, again, I don't think that was necessarily dirty, but it sort of is in line with the reckless play we've been seeing. Like, I think the best way I could describe that one is just reckless. Like, it just wasn't necessary.
That play did not look anything like anything different than a normal hockey play.
Except that
like
the guy was... Except that he was completely turned away. That's my only thing. And didn't have the puck.
But he wasn't driving into him.
No, and that's what I said. Yeah. Like, he wasn't trying to check him. It's just that he sort of didn't let up, which I would like to see a player do when the guy has his back completely turned without the puck.
It was pretty bang-bang with the whistle, though.
Like, yeah, and that's why I'm not going to put that on Pavelski. I'm just saying that that's sort of the level of play that we saw from this team when it comes to physicality, just not really much letting up. In the second game, there was a bit of retribution from Canada, which I think, you know, we all saw coming.
Yeah.
Ryan Kessler had a rough ride.
From Joe Thornton.
Yeah. And
it was...
Which was also interference.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah.
And it was called, you know, very appropriately. But, You know what was really kind of annoying about that is Kessler got up like, yeah, I just drew an interference penalty, just like skating away like a badass or whatever.
You're full of shit. Like, I'm sorry.
I like watching Kessler get hit cleanly, but I like watching him get hit.
I mean, and he got hit twice, like really hard. And yeah, the Thornton hit, what was hilarious to me is it was just so obviously away from the play.
Yeah, it was not a hockey play by Thornton at all. No,
but he just lit him up, and I thought it was great, because, like, Kessler's just an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I think after the Weber hit, I remember him like skating away because there was like this big scrum in front of the net. And he's got this like smirk on his face. And it's like, what are you smiling about? Like, are you fucking crazy or something? Yeah. Like, yes. I don't know.
Yes.
No, like that's like the sign of a like sociopath or something. Like, yeah. I don't know. No, it's dangerous.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
But then who, so Kessler, I want to get back to his hit in the first game where he got the Weber. five in a game.
Yeah.
And there was a huge, like, both teams were really upset at the refs for the way that wound up because Weber and I forget who else, I think it was Taves, retaliated.
Yeah, yeah.
And they both got minors for roughs while Kessler got the five in a game for what he did. Perfectly called by the refs. Like, like Weber and Taves kind of double-teamed Kessler, which I can't say I blame them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the ref made the call. Like, do you really need to avenge his death?
I mean,
like,
it's just hockey.
Like I said earlier, it's an exhibition game. They weren't going to do anything worse than Kessler. And so they would have been perfectly fine taking the penalties standing up for Weber. I don't know. I would have been too.
I was shocked by how intense it was. Like, from the first drop of the puck in the first game, I was like, oh my God, like, this is no ordinary exhibition game. Like, they look like they legitimately hated each other.
Yeah, we thought Sweden-Finland was intense, but I think this was even on a higher level.
Yeah.
And I think the big difference why this sort of happens is because they're using NHL rules and not international rules. In the international rules, there's a lot less sort of like extracurricular activity allowed between whistles. They don't really let that stuff happen, and they're way harder on the types of hits we were seeing. So I think it's not a huge surprise that this stuff happened.
I'm not positive, but isn't a 5-minute major like automatic at least one game suspension?
Yeah. No, yeah, and that's why Kessler played in the second game, was because there isn't that rule.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, as a fan, it was fun to watch an intense game, but just knowing the bigger picture and that these guys all have seasons coming up, and forget even seasons, like, they have the rest of the tournament to play. For them to already be trying to take each other's heads off, it really kind of concerns me for the long-term outlook of this tournament. Someone's going to get hurt badly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, Hossa already got hurt.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Not in this game, but yeah, another game.
It's kind of surprising to me because you think about it, these are each country putting together their best team. They're bringing theoretically all of their most skilled players.
What they think is their best team.
Yeah. So you're putting together these superstar teams and you're still getting this dirty play. I just don't. Well, it surprises me.
I mean, there's two ways to look at it. I think in one way, I'm happy to see the players. It seems like they care. Like, when they're out there, there's definitely a sense of like urgency. But on the other hand, it's like, whoa, just like relax a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I think the most telling sign of how people felt about the way the first game went was when Mike Babcock decided to not put Crosby in the lineup for the second game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's no, like, if that first game doesn't go the way it did, I don't know if Crosby sits the second game. Like, there's no way to actually confirm or deny that, but my own intuition tells me that if the games are a little softer, like if that first game is a little more clean, maybe Crosby plays in the second game.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to lose your best player for nothing, you know?
Yeah. It just kind of sucks that they have to be concerned about that.
But, and that's the thing, and which makes me even question, like, why even have these exhibition games? Like, you know what's funny? The other day, my mom, my sister, and I were watching the first game, Canada-USA. And my sister just asked me, just kind of like, so why do they have exhibition games? And I kind of, like, stopped for a second. I was like, wait, you know, I'm actually not sure why they have these games. I mean, I think it's a cash grab. They're just trying to, like, build hype for the tournament, trying to get the players in the swing of it. But why do we have, like, a week of these games or, like, 6 days or whatever?
And when it first started and the first game that I saw was North America, Europe.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at how both teams were, they needed improvement. Yeah. They needed work. And it's like, okay, yeah, by the first actual game they play, you know, they should look better.
Yeah.
And, you know, the exhibition games, I thought, were, you know, be good for that. And then you see Canada, U.S., and you see them just going at it, like, someone's going to get hurt. Stop this now.
And that's the thing. Like, what's the upside for these games?
Well, yeah.
Like, I just don't get it.
Because when we were commiserating about not being able to find ESPN3 or whatever, so we couldn't even watch
I know.
These exhibition games. So, but it got me thinking the same question as why are they playing these games? Because the point of playing exhibition games, like in the NHL's preseason, is because you need to see the guys that are maybe on the borderline of making the team.
Well, cause
see who can cut it, who's not. But these guys are all going to play.
Yeah, like in the NHL, the exhibition games at least make some sense because it's all those games are an extension of the training camp.
Mm.
You want to see which guys can make the team. You know what's kind of funny, though, is like, sure, like there is that idea of like, yeah, well, we want to see what we have, but the majority of the guys don't even make it anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the point, really? I mean, you usually get, like, what, maybe one or two guys that makes it.
I mean,
and if he's a junior, then he gets sent back down after 7 or 9 games anyway.
Yeah, and like you alluded to, there are sometimes surprises. Like, Jonas Donskoy wasn't expected to really make the team for San Jose.
Yeah, but I mean, if you really think about it, like, what's like the one thing you think of when you think NHL preseason hockey? Like, what's the biggest moment in NHL preseason hockey? Because I have one in my head, but it's like that's the only one.
Which player is going to get hurt and affect my fantasy team?
I mean, yeah, kind of. I mean, the only thing I can really think of is like Theo Fleury. Like,
what? I think I might need a history lesson.
So, let me drop some knowledge. No, so
drop a truth bomb.
A few years ago, he was attempting a comeback with Calgary, and they had him on a professional tryout. And he was scoring like every game. And then like in a shootout, he scored the winner. And he was like, oh my God, look at Theo Fleury making a comeback. And I don't know for a fact, I'm not sure, but I think it might've been around the same time his book was coming out. I don't know if like it was a little bit of a book tour, but regardless, like that is my lasting memory of like NHL preseason hockey. It always goes like this for me for NHL preseason games. Like, okay, oh cool, hockey's back. Oh, wait, this isn't really the hockey I've been, like, waiting for. Like, who the hell are these guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who's number 98 playing on the left wing? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, especially because they usually do, like, split squad, kind of like in baseball spring training.
Yeah.
So, if you're lucky, you'll get to see the game on the NHL Network where it's, like, two-thirds of the team is the guys that you're going to see, but then you also get unlucky sometimes, and you have to see the team that's like, oh, look, Thornton and Marlowe are playing, and, oh, there goes number 79.
Yeah. Like, shout out to the NHL Network, by the way. I've been watching it a lot more recently, and they do a lot of good work. Like, they're, first off, it's just hockey at any time, which is cool, but also, like, they still do their NHL Tonight Show every single day.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on. So they're doing the legwork, and it's cool because I could just turn on the TV and just get filled in. And then they show all the games, which is awesome.
Yeah, showing the encore shows of all the games so far has been really, really helpful for us.
Yeah, but I guess to circle back to the World Cup, it's tough to figure out what's up with these exhibition games. But to take it all the way back to USA-Canada, USA does not look good. And to be fair, they're also playing like one of the better teams. But, you know, and the weird thing to me is that it's not all bad for them. Like, I think especially that top line of Pacioretty, Kane, and
Pavelski,
they look really good. Like, when they're out there, Canada has to play.
Right.
Tortorella doesn't think so. Yeah. At least for a third of them.
Yeah. Oh. Do you want to talk about Pacioretty real fast?
And so, I guess, we should talk about this. This is the second pod in a row where we're going to talk a lot about John Tortorella. So, John Tortellini. But, basically, after the second game, a reporter asked Tortorella why Pacioretty hadn't been getting a lot of minutes. You know, because he barely played in the first game, barely played in the second game. So Tortorella replied in classic John Tortorella fashion, he has to give me a reason to play him. Basically is what he said, like me paraphrasing. It's just, you guys go first. What do you guys think? Because I have some thoughts, but I'm gonna hold off a little bit.
I mean, obviously the US is constructed, there are a couple players where they need a reason to show that they should be played. But Max Pacioretty is not one of those guys. Like, he's a 35-40 goal scorer who's one of the premier players in the NHL that's a threat for a breakaway. Every shift he's out there.
Yeah, especially on the penalty kill. He's actually secretly a really good penalty killer.
So you pair him with a guy like Kane, who's used to those stretch passes, and Pavelski, who has very good vision on the ice, you know, that reason will make itself apparent.
Yeah.
You know, why are you harping on him the very first game?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that, okay, Pacioretty hasn't scored yet. He hasn't looked amazing, but I mean, Joe Pavelski didn't score in the second game.
I know.
Are you going to sit Pavelski?
It's funny because I think maybe this, I missed this earlier. Maybe, I don't know if everyone realizes, but like when he's saying that, he's also insinuating that he's not giving him a reason to play him. You know, I think that's sort of like the statement being made there. Like if he were to say, oh, well, that's not what I meant. Like, come on. You know, like that's what everyone thinks when he says that. So, yeah. And, you know, I just don't understand what, like, what's the return on this? Like, what is, because did Pacioretty play so poorly that he deserves to be called out, especially after two exhibition games? And I know that for USA, every single game matters. I know that for Tortorella, he doesn't see like we do because he's coaching for his job. I get all that. But it just doesn't seem like a useful thing to do.
And saying that is sort of one of two things. It's either Tortorella, you know, evaluating Pacioretty's character and trying to light a fire under him, you know, just by challenging him, which, you know, it's kind of cliche in coaching world. Two, and I think more likely, it's just Tortorella being an idiot.
Yes, I think he legitimately doesn't get what's going on, and I think the numbers reflect it. Like, USA wasn't even, like, present for, like, some of the, like, the third period in the first game. And I don't even care when people tell me, oh, well, they were defending a lead. Yeah, of course, you know, defending a lead, you're going to sort of get into that defensive shell. But come on, one shot on goal. One.
And the thing,
they, like, flatlined. It's like, are you there, guys? Like, I don't know.
And the thing for Pacioretty also is that I can't remember what I was going to say because I'm so rattled by John Tortorella.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Because it's not like that they have a bunch of other great players to turn to. They already don't have their best team, Team USA.
Yeah, they're already at a disadvantage.
So they're already, like, chopping off their own legs here by benching one of their better players.
Yeah.
So it I don't get it. I don't think it's...
It just causes a weird stir. It's like, okay, so now... And, you know, I've heard the argument in the past about Tortorella, like, oh, well, he's just... He's taking the attention away from his players and putting it on himself. Like, who even cares about that stuff? Like, does that even work? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, like, I was thinking about it. It's like, why does he want the attention on himself anyway?
Yeah.
You know, like is he making, like, is... Because of his presence in press conferences and the way he answers questions, is that going to make us just not scrutinize the players? Like, is he just forming this, like, insurmountable wall in front of them? Like, yeah. I just... Are we going to not watch the games now? Because he's just taking all the attention?
Yeah, people...
Like, what?
People aren't going to forget that the players exist now just because John Tortorella is saying things.
And he's saying the wrong things. He's bringing attention to Pacioretty. Now everyone might have an idea that Pacioretty's not playing well.
Yeah.
And, like, sure, like, maybe he didn't have his best game, but it seems very short-sighted. I think he was just probably irritated in the moment about his team's performance, and he decided to just, like...
Lash out.
Make an example.
And who
of
knows?
Someone.
Maybe after the fact, maybe Pacioretty caught wind of it and Tortorella told him, like, hey, you know, it was just like in the moment. Like, I don't know, right? Yeah. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes. But that's sort of at least the approach we've had so far on this podcast is we can only judge what we see in front of us.
Right.
Right? So my computer's freaking out. But
it's also rattled by Tortorella.
It's not having it.
I feel your computer.
But, you know, you can, as an observer, as someone who's not in the room, you can only judge what's in front of you. And so, for us, it just doesn't seem like a good thing to say. And, you know, and then here's where I come in with more of, like, my conjecture. I don't think he, like, apologized to Pacioretty. Like, it doesn't seem likely to me.
Yeah, and, again, that's only speculation, but it would seem likely that he probably didn't.
It would seem in line with what we've come to expect of him. One thing, though, that I was kind of thinking about earlier today while I was watching football was...
for 9 hours.
I watched a lot of football today, and I'm happy because both my fantasy football teams are, like, crushing it.
Yeah.
In one of my leagues, I have the most points in the entire league.
Nice.
And then, yeah, anyway.
I'm still rattled by the fact that I did not start Lamar Miller.
Yeah, that's a rookie mistake.
Yeah, yeah, very clearly. It's my first year playing fantasy football. I'm a rookie. Mistakes were made. Things happen. But you know what? You just have to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, those New York running backs are never reliable.
Yeah. Especially because Eli Manning throws a ball a whole bunch.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. But what I was thinking about was, you know, let's say that USA, their head coach was Mike Sullivan or Peter Laviolette. Let's just say, for hypothetically speaking, how much better would they be with this roster? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much of their poor performance we can truly put on Tortorella, because this roster just isn't very good.
Yeah. And
it's certainly, I think, clear cut that he's not making them any better, but I don't know how much another coach could get out of this roster.
Yeah. I mean, I think coaching makes a huge difference. Like,
I think it does. Yeah.
A good coach.
But you need the talent, though.
Yeah. And that's what I'm starting to drive at, is a good coach can make a decent team a good team, or a bad coach can make a decent team an even worse team, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're really only going to be as good as your players. And Team USA just doesn't really have enough good players.
Yeah, I don't think Tortorella makes them any better.
No, I don't think so.
And it'd be tough to argue that he makes them worse, because we don't really know, because we don't have like a large enough sample size or whatever. But yeah, I think that covers Tortorella pretty well.
I just don't want to talk about him anymore.
I know. talking about bad hockey coaches.
Yeah.
It's fun in like the first few minutes, and then it's like, okay, well.
And then it actually like makes you depressed.
Yeah. But those are two fun games to watch. Hopefully Team USA kind of settles down. I don't see it happening, though.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. Yeah. I just hope no one gets injured. That's really my biggest hope.
Yeah.
Because, like, and you already see it, like, the goaltenders are getting run into hard.
Yeah.
Bishop, yeah.
Yeah, and even Price on, I think, Pavelski's goal in the first game, he kind of got slammed. So, yeah, there's bodies flying everywhere, and I'm a little worried that guys get injured. Although, to be fair, this is technically probably the time of the year where the guys are in their best shape, because they're coming out of summer training.
Right.
So their bodies are, you know, functioning at a pretty high level. So maybe the injury risk is decreased. I don't know. I'm not really sure where that leads. Yeah.
It's just a different tone from what I was expecting.
Yeah. So for those who've been following our last few episodes, we've been actually previewing every team in the tournament, and the tournament's already started now, so the timing's a little awkward. Luckily, there are only two teams left for us to preview. Canada and Russia, the two sort of like heavy hitters. We've gone through the Team Europe's, the Czech Republic's, the Finland's. Now we can finally get to like the good stuff.
The two powerhouses.
Yeah. So let's start with Canada, since I think we're already kind of on that topic. What are you guys seeing from Canada? Are they still favorites in your mind? Or have they possibly gone down a little bit?
I think they're favorites, but I don't think it's by like a country mile or anything like that. Because North America, it's going to be interesting to see them play against other teams, but yeah. North America looks great.
North America, yeah, they've been lighting up Team Europe, and I know that last game they played was close, but
yeah.
And the two teams that I've seen move the puck the best have been Canada and North America.
Yeah, because the sense you get from Canada's lines, you know, up front, is just that there's so much speed and skill, but also very good hockey sense.
Mm.
On every line, there's really never a weak link, and I think the cool thing is they can throw a lot of different looks at you. And I don't know if they did that intentionally, but like the Bergeron, Marchand, Crosby line.
That's a good line.
It is a really good line, because I think it's kind of funny, because I think Bergeron and Crosby actually kind of play similar games.
Mm-hmm.
Crosby's obviously faster, has more of that like far-reaching offensive game, but they both have that similar sort of like all-in mindset, small area, getting the little things done first. So I think those two mesh really well, and they played well together in Sochi. And then you add Marchand, who sort of has more of the speed, the scoring ability.
Good hands.
Yeah, and then, you know,
a bit more of a hard-nosed player.
Yeah, a bit more of a big-nosed player, that's for sure.
Okay. High five. Nice.
Yeah. No, but I actually really like Brad Marchand. Even as a Habs fan, I admired the way he plays. I don't admire his antics, but when he's actually focused on playing hockey, I think he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I drafted him a few years ago in fantasy because I was expecting him to do then what he did last year.
Yeah, score 30 goals.
Yeah, so it finally happened. I felt kind of good about that.
I just don't like when he's doing stuff that's borderline dangerous / actually dangerous out there.
Oh, yeah.
Like clipping guys, all sorts of stuff. But yeah, that's a really good line. And just up and down the lineup, I really like their forwards. I mean, you got Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
Just that alone is a pretty good thing to have.
Yeah, and Thornton's been playing a lot on the power play, and he and Couture hooked up for a nice goal in the second game against Team USA.
Yeah.
Thornton, just a nice pass to Couture, who was facing away from the net and just turned around and made a quick backhander and put it in. But seeing the chemistry there, not really much of a surprise, but
yeah,
they look really...
Oh, so Couture and Thornton on the same line?
I think that was a power play.
Oh, okay.
Thornton, Burns, Couture, and was it...
And then
was it
two Ducks.
Was it Perry and Getzlaff?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and
at least in the second game.
Yeah, Perry didn't play in the first game. Yeah, let's see. I'm going to pull up the lines right here. Okay. Yeah, so these lines are amazing. Yeah, so the first line, obviously, Marchand, Crosby, Bergeron. Second line, Tavares, Getzlaff, Stamkos. They've looked really good.
Yeah.
I think, you know, actually...
Stamkos has looked really good. He's flying out there.
Yeah, he's flying. And I actually think Ryan Getzlaff is looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure what to expect of him, just because I don't think he had a very good year last year, even though I think he was trying to have a good year. I'm not going to, like, say he was...
Hot take. Ryan Getzlaff was trying to play well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I just, man, like... Maybe it was the pressure being the captain on a team with high expectations. I don't know what it was, but he didn't have his best season. Like, didn't even crack 10 goals.
But he's looked scary with the puck on his stick.
But he has been making some really great stretch passes. Like, some phenomenal... Like, he had a really nice stretch pass to Doughty in the first game that led to a goal. Doughty just blasted it by Bishop.
And with Getzlaff, I just love the way he creates space for himself when he enters the offensive zone and sort of cuts across the blue line and... again, the vision is just amazing.
And then, you know, you have Couture, Taves, Seguin. So, yeah, they're loaded. I don't think any team, even possibly the team we're about to talk about next, Russia, can really match what Canada brings. Just because, like, they can all score. They can all play responsibly. They all kind of know how to play together. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
And those power play units are just... horrifying. Like,
yeah,
they're just so good.
And then Muzzin Doughty is a really good pairing. I mean, it's one of the best pairings in the NHL.
Yeah.
So Vlasic Weber is going to be an interesting one, because to me Weber hasn't looked terrible, but I can already see sort of like it going south.
Yeah,
like he really struggles to make breakout passes, like, especially because the whole deal with him in Nashville was that he was more in the support role in the breakout, whereas what's his name?
Roman Josi.
Josi did the heavy lifting. So now I've seen a couple instances of Weber having to skate it up the ice, and he just looks confused.
Yeah. I mean, Weber isn't the most fleet of foot.
To begin with.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
He's with his skating ability, he's going to have to be passing the puck, because he's not going to outskate anyone.
Yeah, I just think Vlasic is going to... I mean, already is, but is going to have to do some heavy lifting on that line.
Yeah,
because otherwise, man, that's going to be a tough line to really, or that's going to be a tough pairing to have success with going forward.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not really concerned about them being able to get the puck out. It's just more about, will they be able to do it with control?
Yeah, and then you have Petrangelo and Burns on the third pairing. That's a good pairing. Probably should be the second pairing, to be honest.
Yeah.
But they're going to be great. And then obviously in the net, you have Carey Price, Corey Crawford, and Braden Holtby.
Yeah.
So Price didn't look too great in the first game. I thought I thought the rust was a little apparent.
Yeah, there were some rebounds. I think on the Pavelski goal, that rebound was just left right in front.
Yeah.
And Patrice Bergeron wasn't able to tie up Pavelski going to the net, but yeah. I just think there were some rebounds that we're not going to see from Carey Price when he shakes off the rust.
Yeah.
And I think he's still going to be, by the end of the tournament, the go-to guy.
Oh, yeah. Crawford looked good in the second game, though.
He did.
He looked great.
Yeah. Made some nice windmill glove saves.
Yeah. We're big fans of the unnecessary windmill.
But yeah, I think Canada's, like, it goes without saying, but like Canada's a great team. There's not too much to dissect about this team because they're loaded up front. Like, their forward group is a who's who of, like, the best forwards in the NHL. Their blue line, you know, this is not the best version of Canada's blue line. Like, they could have, you know, Subban was left home.
Letang. Giordano.
Giordano.
Don't forget, Bomich just scored yesterday.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. So I'm not in love with their blue line, but honestly, the more I've thought about it, it almost doesn't matter a whole lot because their forwards are just so incredibly good.
Yeah. And it's not a bad blue line. It's just not.
It's just like if you're comparing it to everyone else.
Yeah, it's just not the best version.
It's just not Sweden.
Yeah.
And then in net, you know, even if Price falters, which I don't think he will, well, then you got two excellent guys in Holtby and Crawford. So
yeah,
this is definitely like one of the teams to beat. Like, there's no denying it. But let's get into Russia, because I think, you know, we know how I feel about Canada. Russia is really sort of a wild card to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I can just pull up the lines.
Aren't they always? for as good as their team always is, there's just been a lot of disappointment. So I kind of feel like they're always perennially the enigmatic wild card. You don't know what to expect, even though their roster is really, really, really scary.
Yeah. I just think with Russia, their forwards are just so good. Like, they're as good as Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I mean, like, first line, Kucherov, Kuznetsov, Ovechkin.
Yeah. Awesome.
Like, two guys who already play together, plus Kucherov, who is just a deadly forward down in Tampa. Then Tarasenko, Malkin, Nikolai Kulemin? What? Okay.
That's kind of interesting.
That's a little random.
But two-thirds of that line might even be better than the top line.
But this is these are the lines from the preliminary games, so subject to change. But Tarasenko and Malkin together.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Like, man, I would probably take that line over any line Canada has.
Those two guys are going to create so much space for each other.
This is a scorcher. This is a scorcher. I would take Tarasenko, Malkin, Kulemin over any line Canada has.
Wow.
Just the opportunity to have Tarasenko and Malkin together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kulemin might as well not be there. Like, that line is going to be insanely good. And I'm sure, I don't think Kulemin is going to remain there. He's actually terrible, by the way. Like there's been a lot of stats done on, there's this one guy, I forget his name. I think it's Ryan Stimson. He did this whole project, like, tracking passes in the NHL. And it's really interesting because he's tracked passes leading to shots and shot attempts. And Kulemin, it has his reputation of being, like, a playmaker type, right? Like, depth forward who can bring some skill.
Uh-huh.
And he is just terrible. Like, he doesn't do anything. And then on the defensive side of the game, it's just as bad, if not worse. Well, so
you're going to have to show me this.
Yeah, I will. And then on the third line, Dadanov, is it Shipachov? Shipachov.
I'll go with that.
Shipachov, anyway. And Panarin, that's a really good line, because Dadanov and Shipachov are two of the best forwards in the KHL, which is a good league.
Did they play with Panarin when he was over there?
They might have. You know, I think that might explain it.
Wouldn't it be so awesome, though, if it was Tarasenko, Malkin, and Panarin?
Right? Yeah.
That line would be so fun.
But, man, I think these lines might not be final, because I don't see Kovalchuk's name. Is he not playing in the tournament? Do we know that?
I thought he was, but...
He has to be. Like, that would not make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, we'll have to get our fact checkers on that.
Yeah, let me get on this real quick.
And, by the way, we are our own fact checkers, because we can't afford to have real fact checkers.
Yeah, no, it's good. The people need to know the process of...
He's not on the roster. Datsyuk is, though.
Datsyuk is, okay. So maybe Datsyuk just didn't play in the prelims. But yeah, they're stacked up front. Their fourth line has... Let's see if I can bring it back up. Yeah, Anisimov, Nemestikov, and then Telegin. So... A good fourth line, all guys who can provide offense. Yeah. I mean, that's the MO with Russia. Where it gets interesting, though, is the blue line, and I think that's what we should really hone in on. First pairing, at least in these preliminary games, you have Zaitsev, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Zaitsev.
Dmitry Orlov, Alexei Yemelin, Nikita Nesterov, Alexei Marchenko, and Dmitry Kulikov. So,
I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel great about a couple of those guys, but I think as a whole, it's a serviceable blue line. Like, I think in the NHL, this would be an okay blue line.
Yeah. You know?
The problem is, this isn't the NHL, this is the World Cup of Hockey.
Should be better.
This should be better. The problem is, the second problem is, they don't really have anyone better to bring on.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Canada where they're, like, just self-sabotaging. Like, this is kind of what Russia's got.
Yeah.
You know? Gone are the days of, like, Sergei Gonchar in his prime, and, you know, Markov is sitting this one out, but, like, they don't really have the sort of horses back there anymore that, like, they once did.
Yeah, and Slavovoynov isn't really an option.
Yeah, he's...
Because he's stupid.
He's not a great person.
Yeah. Hot take.
Let's just leave it at that. I don't know. I think Alexei Yemelin is actually... Look, anyone who knows me or is getting to know me, hello, new listeners, I'm not a huge fan of Alexei Yemelin's. I think in general, in his tenure in Montreal, he hasn't been very good. Although last season was a bit of an uptick for him. He showed that when focused, when not trying to crush people at every chance, he can actually be a solid contributor. So if he brings that, if that Alexei Yemelin shows up to the World Cup, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah,
he's capable.
Yeah, I mean, that's his downfall, is that he sacrifices good defensive positioning for the big hit.
And at times he makes very boneheaded breakout passes, but he's learned to limit that a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, though, here's the thing. We're talking about a guy who is a decent NHLer, who will now have to stop the likes of Sidney Crosby, Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, like, you know, that level of competition.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, I just don't think their D is good enough to stack up. It just isn't.
You're not high on them.
I'm not high on them.
Where do you stand on Russia? Oof. All right. Well,
bronze.
There it is. Bronze.
Well, bronze at best.
In our made up medals.
Like at best. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The medals that won't actually be awarded.
Yes.
Yeah. For anyone who might not know, this tournament, unlike any other tournament.
International tournament, yeah.
There are no medals per se. It's just the semifinals, and then there's a final series, which is a best of three.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun, but there are no medals.
Yeah, there's one cup.
Yes, it's the World Cup, so yeah.
I'm really glad no one jumped on the two girls, one cup thing, because I feel like that was on the table.
I mean, that never entered my mind. Why did it enter yours? Okay.
I know, right? Like, where the hell is that coming from?
Man, okay, look at me like I'm crazy. All right.
I mean, you brought it up. All right. Moving on.
Back to Alexei Marchenko. I actually like Alexei Marchenko.
Do you? Do you?
No, he's, look, God. All right, I'm done trying to make this blue line look good. They're fine. They're okay. Not good enough for this tournament. It will be a huge weakness for Russia. In net, I like them. I don't know who they're going to play because they got Sergei Bobrovsky. They got Semyon Varlamov, also not a great person.
Yeah.
Google that one because I don't feel like wasting my breath talking about that. And then Andrei Vasilevsky, a promising youngster for the Tampa Bay Lightning, potentially already better than Ben Bishop. We don't know yet. Certainly looked very good in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think this is an area of strength for them.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think these are legitimately good goaltenders. Well, maybe not so much Bobrovsky, but he's shown flashes in the past.
Yeah. Bobrovsky had a really horrendous year.
Yes, but I mean, to be fair, goaltenders who aren't named Henrik Lundqvist or Carey Price are usually the products of the team in front of them.
Yeah.
Columbus was like one of the worst teams in the NHL last season, if not the worst.
Yeah,
it has been for a while.
Yeah, it was not a good team. And in fairness to Bobrovsky, he got a lot better in the second half of the season.
He did.
So,
man, look at you. Dropping some Columbus, some CBJ knowledge.
He was on my fantasy team, so I had to suffer through the entire roller coaster.
Oh man, I'm gonna retract some of that credit, but still, I'll leave you with like 25 cents in the dollar,
like partial credit.
Yeah, partial credit. There you go. It's like you did the equation, but I'm not digging the answer.
Yeah, but at least I showed my work.
Hey, we might have gotten some fans in Ohio because now they know that we follow the Jackets to some degree.
Yes,
by having their players on the fantasy team.
Boone Jenner, my boy.
Boone Jenner's a good player. You know who's also a really good player? Ryan Johansson.
Yeah.
Oh, who's no longer playing
for the Blue Jackets. It'd be awesome if he was still playing for them.
But apparently he's out of shape. Oh, John Tortorella. Look at this guy sabotaging another team, this time the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And it comes full circle.
Oh, man.
I do want to ask, who do you guys think is going to emerge as the Russian starter in goal?
I really had no idea what you were going to ask there.
I could see you on the edge of your seat.
I was like, is he going to ask me about Nestorov right now? Because I'm not ready for that.
Is he going to quiz me on like Zaitsev?
I hate to say it.
Zeitgeist.
I think it's going to be Varlamov, but yeah,
but he's fine.
Yeah, no, he is. But it's Varlamov, so that's why I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm thinking you're really going to see a goalie by, like, this team, you're going to see goalie by committee.
It's possible.
Possibly.
Like, Russia needs to win, and neither goalie is going to be solid enough to claim that. Get up to that task.
Anytime a goalie has a bad game, I think you're going to see a switch.
Yeah.
Until, because it's funny, because Russia, they never win the big tournaments. They'll win like they
juniors.
They like own the world championship.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, there's the big international competitions every year in hockey. Well, every 4 years you have the Olympics, which is sort of like the top of the totem pole. But then you have the World Junior Championship, which is the under-20s. Then you have the U18s, the Ivan Hlinka tournament. And then you have the World Championships, which are usually in May.
Yeah.
They're the double IHF World Championships.
Yeah, it, during the playoffs.
So that's supposedly the yearly competition between the world's best players. But it never pans out that way because the tournament goes on during the Stanley Cup playoffs. So teams like Canada and USA can't send their best.
And in theory, the teams with the best players should be going deep in the playoffs and not sending players.
I just got a Donald Trump quote in my mind.
What is it?
Keep it to yourself.
You know, when Team Canada is coming to this World Championship, they're not sending their best. No, but they're so those are the tournaments that go on. Where was I even going with this?
I don't know.
As soon as Donald Trump entered my head,
it just scrambled everything.
It just scrambled everything. Mm. But coming back to Russia, because I think that's what we really want to talk about.
Oh, because Donald Trump has ties to Russia, doesn't he?
Oh my God!
Ton of friends over there, or something.
We might have just become the garage conspiracy podcast.
just aliens. That's all I'm saying. Aliens.
Look, Semyon Varlamov? No. Aliens.
Yeah. Semyon Varlamov is just a bunch of squirrels in a goalie suit.
Like, have you seen Men in Black?
Man, I'm so mad I forgot what the point I was about to make. I'm going to blame last night. So for anyone who doesn't know, which is everyone... The pod, the first line, we had a little outing last night. Do we want to talk about that at all?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you don't.
Well, what we can say is that it was like a team bonding.
Oh, you know why? Okay, let me present it this way, because I think it'll be much more constructive and perhaps professional. I don't know.
That's a switch.
We were celebrating the fact that we now have two reviews on iTunes.
We have two reviews on iTunes.
Shout out to everyone, all two of you, who have left reviews. It is seriously appreciated. We were you know, at an establishment, and you know, we were just enjoying ourselves. Nick shows me on his phone that we have two reviews, and I went crazy. I went nuts. I was so stoked.
He was really happy.
I was sellying.
Yeah, I mean, there were girls all around us, but Felix only had eyes for these 5-star reviews.
Absolutely. Oh, and they were 5 stars?
They were both 5 stars.
That's right.
Yeah. So we really appreciate that.
No,
because,
seriously.
Like, yeah. we sort of become robotic saying, please leave.
But we mean it.
Yeah. Please leave a 5-star review because it helps the show. But like Felix said, we really do mean it. Because
yeah, we do. Absolutely.
It gets us noticed. So thank you to everyone that's been leaving reviews. Yeah. All two of you.
Seriously. But yeah. So circling back to Russia, just to put a bow on our Team Russia thoughts. What's the outlook for this team? Like, what is the... Like, give me a prediction. Give me something to walk away from.
Bronze.
To walk away with. Well, you said bronze, but that sort of doesn't apply. Oh, I think that's what I was trying to say with all the competitions, is that there are medals in all the competitions.
Oh, you're getting at the point that Russia does...
Yes. Oh, God. Thank you. Man, okay.
We got there.
Yeah.
Pass, shoot, score.
So what I was saying is Russia seems to do really well in these other tournaments, notably the World Championship, but it makes sense because in that, and like, I don't want to diminish their accomplishment because the games still have to be played, but I'm going to diminish it. you know, Canada's best, USA's best are all still playing for the most part in the Stanley Cup playoffs during that time. Russia, the KHL season, KHL is Russia's professional league, which arguably rivals the NHL, or at least that's what they want to think. Their season is over, so they're sending all their best guys.
Right.
And they have some good guys. You know, Ilya Kovalchuk, former 50-goal scorer in the NHL. Did he ever score 50? I think he did.
I don't know.
Upper 40s. Anyway, really good goal scorer. Probably would have been a Hall of Famer if he had stuck around.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
But he didn't. He went back to Russia.
Can you believe Atlanta had him and Danny Heatley?
Yeah, and Marian Hossa. That was a really good team. But hashtag Bob Hartley.
Enough said.
Yeah. But yeah, so Russia does really well in these tournaments, but the problem is they haven't been able to get it done on the biggest stages, namely the Olympics. And it sort of brings into question, like, why are they doing so well in these tournaments where less players are at? So there's a lot riding on this tournament for Russia. I think that Sochi was a big disappointment. Obviously, in their home country, they weren't able to get it done. They weren't even able to medal.
Right.
Not even make the medal round. Can you believe that? Can you imagine how much of a disappointment that must have been?
Yeah, and they really didn't look good.
They didn't look good, and it kind of sucks because I think there was all this hype. Russia's a huge hockey country.
Yes.
Like literally, it's a huge country, but it's actually, like, hockey is the biggest sport there.
Yes.
And we all know Putin's the best player there.
Yes. Okay, he scored, like, 11 goals.
As he constantly proves.
Yeah. But so the players are held in high regard. Like, you know, there's Alex Ovechkin is, like, a household name, you know. So for them to lose on their home turf was a huge blow to, like, the national pride a little bit. But the problem is the expectations probably weren't that realistic to begin with, you know. It's just that they hold their players in such high esteem that, you know, they expect gold every single time. The problem is they're just not that good.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't blame people for being optimistic on Russia when you look at the names.
Yeah, exactly. You look at that forward group and it's phenomenal. It's just a who's who of...
It's world class.
Yeah. World class Russian goal scorers. So, like, they should do well. I'm not saying that they should win it all, but they should do really, really well.
I'd be shocked if they made the final.
I would be surprised too.
Yeah.
I can't wait for them to play Team North America.
That'll be fun.
I want to see that happen.
Do they have the best forward group in the tournament? Who gets to hold who gets to wear that Garage Hockey Podcast belt of best forward group?
So I think it comes down to probably Russia, Canada, and North America.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But
no love for Europe, man.
Hey, dude, shout out.
No love for USA.
I mean. All the love to...
How can you disrespect their grit and character?
All the love to Team USA's first line, and then not so much after that.
Yes.
Why are you making me say bad things about Team USA? I'm tired of it.
I'm not even trying to do that. But I don't think they're the best in this tournament, but it's right there between them and Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd still give Canada the edge.
I'd give Canada the edge as well, probably, if I had to.
Me too.
Just because I like Canada's depth a little bit more, but Russia is so strong in the top two lines, and even the third and fourth lines are still really good.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, like, if you just want to... I want to compare really quickly.
Do a little side-by-side.
Let's look at Canada's fourth line. This could be the litmus test.
Yes.
Let's decide this right now, who is the best forward group.
All right, we're doing it.
I don't want to leave the listeners hanging.
We need to...
I don't want
to
give a lukewarm take.
Yeah. We... You know what? I locked up lukewarm Nick. He's locked in my basement. He's never allowed out. You will only be getting scorching hot takes. I'm not going to be sitting on the fence.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you one here. So, the fourth line for Canada... Oh, my God. Matt Duchene, Joe Thornton, and Claude Giroux.
That's the fourth line.
I might be retracting my Malkin Tarasenko comment. That is an insane line.
That's a great line.
Okay, yeah, Canada is the best forward.
Yeah, they do.
Like, you got to judge it by the fourth line, I think. It's a little arbitrary, but, I mean, Canada's fourth line could arguably be
any
first line.
Yeah.
And then if we just take a quick look at the third line, let's see here if I can figure out how to scroll up. Yeah, Logan Couture, Jonathan Toews, Travis Sagan. Also a fantastic line.
Yes.
Like, maybe not in that first line territory as much as, you know, like what we see with Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, but certainly still.
Still sort of sounds like a power play unit to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just because I just don't love Taves as much as you guys do, but respect. I'm paying my respects. Like, this is a very good line.
Yeah. We can say this about any, they could put any combination of those forwards together and we would be like, oh, man, it's a great line.
Yeah.
It's the first line.
Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting, though, that, and I don't know if the playing time sort of reflect this, but that Getzlaf is on the second line and Thornton's on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Like especially when you compare the years they had. So, by the way, earlier I messed up. I said he had less than 10 goals. He had 13 last year. Ryan Getzlaf did. But it's weird to put Getzlaf ahead of Thornton, at least at this point in time, because I feel like Thornton is... like vastly the better player.
Yeah. It does make me wonder how they, like, because, you know, there were conversations about this.
Yeah.
Extensive ones.
I think it's mostly just about, like, sort of the chemistry that each line can provide.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when you have Duchene Thornton and Giroux. That's a hugely offensive line, because Thornton's going to get those guys the puck and they can skate it up, because, you know, Thornton's not that fast,
right?
Mm. But he's going to find those guys and they can bury it.
Yeah,
it's, you know, Giroux has a lethal one timer, and even Duchesne is crafty around the net.
He can do
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, you can just plug him in, Joe Thornton, with anyone.
Yeah,
and good things are going to happen.
You know what I find interesting? That back in the day, I'd say circa 2010-ish, 2008, there was that debate of like, oh, well, Ryan Getzlaff or Joe Thornton, because they were playing each other in the playoffs a lot. There was sort of that debate, and it's like, oh, well, Getzlaff is better because Getzlaff shoots and Thornton doesn't. I'm like, you know, the way their careers have progressed, I don't think it's even close.
Yeah.
Thornton is, like, so much better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're... It's kind of interesting, because even though they're both pass-first type of players, they play very different styles.
Yeah. And I think, like, to be fair, they're both pass-first, but Thornton passes, like, better.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... It's just interesting to watch, because you would think, oh, they're both pass-first guys, so it's kind of the same thing. But Joe Thornton's the kind of guy that...
his game ages better.
His game, I mean, it's aged really well. He just really great at protecting the puck. Ryan Getzlaff is a little more creative with his hands, I would say.
He tries more stuff than Thornton. Like, Thornton doesn't have to do much. Like, he's very aware of what makes him successful.
Yeah.
It's just stay low, hum around the boards, find the open guy, fend off defenders until you find the open guy. Like, it's pretty straightforward.
It's always been a pretty simple game for him, but he's never gonna stop.
He does it better than anyone else, at least in his generation.
He's just great.
Yeah. So Joe has a beer league game to get to. Actually, you're playing two games tonight,
back to back.
Really?
Yeah.
Same division or different division?
One apart.
Okay. Yeah, so Joe has to go play hockey.
You have to go to the gym.
I have to go to the gym. I have to go write an article about Shea Theodore.
You do.
Which, if you're listening to this, you should definitely read. I'm previewing every Ducks player's season.
Where can they find that? Which website?
TheHockeyWriters.com, baby.
Check it out, baby.
Just follow me on Twitter, @Felix_Sakar. That's where I post all that stuff. But yeah, we have stuff to do, but we had to get together for a pod because, you know, we want to start the week off right. Monday morning. First thing in the morning, you know, get a little garage hockey podcast going with your coffee or something. You know? Let us be a part of your day.
With your Tim Hortons.
Yes. Yeah, or possibly your Tim Hortons. Let us be a part of the beginning of your day, possibly.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, so while you're driving to work, you can listen to us. Or if you're...
Or be like me, and while I'm at work...
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Don't let your boss catch you.
Yeah, if you're slacking off at work like we are, so hopefully we can be that bright spot in your day. Hopefully we're not the only bright spot, but hopefully we'll be one of the bright spots.
Hey, our average review on iTunes is 5 stars.
It's 5 stars, though.
Our mean is 5 stars.
Our analytics are looking pretty good so far.
Our worst is 5 stars.
Yes, our maximum and minimum is the same.
Yes, so our five stars per 60 minutes, really, really good.
Yeah.
Should I lead us out?
Yes.
Yeah, let's let Joe get on his merry way.
Yes, I don't want...
There's beer in that fridge.
Hmm. There is beer in that fridge.
All right, man. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll have to do something about that. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm not going to say any of the stuff about leaving a review because we spent like 10 minutes on that.
Yeah.
So you know what to do. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.